Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi there, and welcome again to the Explaining History podcast. Today I'm going to return to a topic area that I focused on previously in the study of the Holocaust, that is the fate of Hungary's Jews in 1944. And particularly, we're going to look at what happened to the Jews of Budapest. Today I want to look at this. It's drawn from an article that I was reading in History Today, the January 2017 edition. And the focus was all on the refugees, and obviously this is the great stories of our time that historians will ruefully shake their heads at in coming decades, no doubt. But the politics between the Hungarian dictator Admiral Miklos Horthy and the Reich determined a great deal of what was likely to what unfolded regarding the Jews of Hungary and Budapest in particular. So, in the autumn of 1944, the fate of the Jews of Budapest was uncertain. 6 months earlier, Horthy had raised serious doubts in Hitler's mind as to his continued loyalty, and the response to that was that the Germans occupied Hungary and deported to Auschwitz 437,000 Hungarian Jews, mainly those that were living in the countryside. There was a seminar that I attended from my work for the Holocaust Education Trust a couple of years ago, led by the excellent scholar Martin Winston, who discussed how Hungarian peasants had quite literally been forced to, and in some cases complied with orders to take rural Jews in their carts to towns and cities where they were being ghettoised for deportation. In September 1944, as Adolf Eichmann, one of the key figures of the Holocaust, planned to deport the Jews of Budapest, the news of the fate of the Hungarians escaped westwards. There were several escapees that made it out of the camps and contacted the Allies to let them know about the fate of the Hungarians, Hungarian Jews. And the combination of pressure from the Vatican, from Sweden and from the Red Cross stayed Hungary's hand temporarily. and it placed pressure on Horthy to halt the deportations. He was very mindful of the fact that the war perhaps was not going to work out in his favour or in Nazism's favour for very much longer, and there would be some major questions to answer at the end of it about the fate of the Jews. So he wanted to do something, an anti-Semite himself, but he wanted to do something to be able to present himself in a reasonably good light. Eichmann left Hungary in frustration. The Germans in Hungary had not completely been able to control the country. They still had, as an occupying army, had to work with the Horthy regime. But in October that year, Horthy was ousted, and the Arrow Cross, the extremist fascist organisation, seized power, and Eichmann returned. He said, and here I quote Robert Philpott in his article The Angel of Budapest, to Jewish leader Rudolf Kastner, "I'm back again," he said. "I am back again. You forgot Hungary is still in the shadow of the Reich. My arms are long, and I can reach the Jews of Budapest as well." Instead of immediate deportations, what began were mass killings by Hungarian Arrow Cross fascists. The Jews were often taken to the banks of the Danube and shot, and there were others who were marched westwards by the Germans. From time to time in the study of the Holocaust, the rescuing figures, the likes of Oskar Schindler, the saviours, people like the late Sir Nicholas Winton, who organised the rescuing of 10,000 Jewish children from Prague following the Nazi seizure of the Czech parts of Czechoslovakia in 1938. These names arise. And there's always a kind of a chorus of people say, well, why don't you focus on the such and such Schindler, the French Schindler or the Japanese Schindler, of which there were such individuals. But one name that's often overlooked is the Spanish diplomat Ángel Sanz Briz, who we're going to talk about now. Sanz Briz had been a supporter of Franco. He had been a member of Franco's Nationalist Army. He fought in Franco's Nationalist Army against the Spanish Republic during the Civil War. And he became the charge d'affaires of the Spanish government in Budapest. His friend, Giorgio Perlasca, who was an Italian fascist, and he had also volunteered to fight for Franco, as there were tens of thousands of Italian soldiers in fascist Spain, or in Civil War Spain, and he had also fought in Abyssinia. So these were not men who one would instinctively associate with having humanitarian tendencies. Franco and his cabal of generals were anti-Semites. These were they existed in the entire culture of anti-Semitism in a country that had expelled all its Jews in the 15th century. But for Franco, the left-of-centre republic was evidence of some foul Jewish Masonic anti-Catholic plot that needed to be eradicated, such as the kind of the rhetoric of conspiratorial fascist thought. Countries like Italy and Spain, of course, either being Axis powers in the latter case or sympathetic to the Axis in the former, would have had consulates and embassies in occupied countries. And this gave them the scope, or it gave individual diplomats with consciences the scope to do something. Sanz Briz decided that he was going to act unilaterally when the Germans marched into Hungary in 1944. He joined with Swedish, Swiss and Portuguese diplomats in signing a strong letter of protest, which was being organised by the Vatican against the deportation of the Jews. And this was interesting in that there were there was at least one power deeply sympathetic towards the Reich, where one of the its diplomats was openly criticising the policy of the Holocaust. This, if you think, if you consider the secrecy of the Holocaust, or the attempted secrecy of the Holocaust, and the desperation to prevent the realities of what was happening being disseminated, and a friendly diplomat shouting loudly about the deportations was probably really quite unwarranted, quite uncomfortable, quite difficult for the Nazis to deal with. And the possibilities of further diplomatic outbursts, perhaps from within the rather fragile world of the Axis in 1944, would also have been a very kind of ominous sign. There were instructions from Madrid asking him to tone things down, but they arrived too late. That's often diplomatic talk for, yeah, sorry, I didn't see the memo, I've acted anyway, now we'll have to deal with it. The Jewish leaders in Budapest appealed for help, and he issued 200 passports and about 1,500 transit visas. For the Jews who are unable to escape abroad, the embassy offered 1,900 documents on embassy writing paper, which offered a protection of the Spanish government. Sainsbury's went further than this, though. He rented houses and apartments across Budapest to physically house the Jews, to protect them.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And he made sure that the Spanish flag flew over them and signs that declared them ex-territorial buildings that belonged to the Spanish embassy, which created basically enclaves of Spanish territory on Hungarian soil. Because for the Jews of Budapest, the Holocaust wasn't happening in Auschwitz, it was happening on their doorsteps. The Jews of Budapest were being murdered in the streets. They were being, as mentioned, taken to the banks of the Danube to be shot. They were being attacked by vigilante gangs and by Arrow Cross militia in the streets and in their own homes. So the physical environment around them offered no protection. And so the actions of Sainsbury's were really, really vital for that handful of Jews who were the lucky ones. One group of Jewish children, there were 500 of them, had been offered protection by the Jews in Spanish Morocco. They had to get there at their own expense. The Germans refused to allow them to transit to Spain, where they would cross to Morocco. And so the children were stranded in Budapest, and it was only because of Sainsbury's that they managed to have anywhere to shelter. The Hungarian Arrow Cross militias became wise to what Sainsbury's was doing and raided the houses, the safe houses that he had established. Sainsbury's normally rushed to the scene and normally managed to talk the militias out or insist the militias did not harm or remove anyone from the building. And normally he managed to prevail. On the times that he was too late, he made sure that he rescued the Spanish protected Jews from the marches that were being carried out, the forced marches to Germany. Or he would drive to the Austrian border and attempt to intercept the deportations. Sainsbury's friend, Giorgio Palasca, had spent much of the war as a representative for a meat company that purchased food for the Italian army, and became concerned, really, for his own survival. And he used the fact that he'd fought for Franco to gain himself a Spanish passport. He went to the Spanish embassy and found it besieged by Jews begging for assistance. And Palasca decided at that point that he would do what he could to help. And Sainsbury's placed him in charge of the safe houses, managing the safe houses in Budapest. The danger that the Red Army posed to the city and also to the Spanish mission there was overwhelming by late 1944, and Sainsbury's was ordered home back to Madrid. Palasca, at that point, was given the job, or kind of rather so much, not so much given it, but inherited the role of taking care of the Jews of the Jews under Spanish protection in Budapest. And I quote here from Robert Philpott's article: "Without authority, he turned the embassy with its passport forms and other official documentation over to Palasca," that's Sainsbury's. Taking the Spanish name Jorge, the Italian convinced the Hungarians he was the new charge d'affaires. "If I hadn't said that, they would have taken everyone away," he later suggested, before denying that he had done anything heroic. "All I did was tell a bunch of fibs." With Budapest descending into anarchy, these fibs and Palasca's continuing effort to protect his charges represented the difference between life and death for many Jews. There is, I think, one of the reasons why this is such an interesting area of scholarship, one of the reasons why the story of Oskar Schindler, for example, and the various other rescuers of the Jews during the war excites our curiosity, the efforts that the Danish people almost en masse went to save almost the entirety of Denmark's Jews in 1943, for example. One of the reasons why this fascinates us is because it starts to blow apart many of the ideas that we have about people, really. The notion that human beings are self-interested actors that will simply respond to either coercion or to material gain, this kind of almost homo economicus idea of human beings, really doesn't seem to be true in every situation. Much scholarship has gone into, say, the motivations of Oskar Schindler, what motivated him to take on such enormous risks at a time when he could simply have sat back and profited from the Holocaust. And the fact that we ask these kinds of questions perhaps tells us a little bit more about our times than it does about theirs. The fact that we are wondering where human morality comes from maybe suggests we live in an age of greater cynicism than we originally thought. The fact of the matter is that human beings are capable of making very clear choices, not always positive ones, not always good ones, not always moral ones, but very clear choices when presented with the possible extinction, the possible mass murder of others. And there are a small number of whom, for a small number of individuals in any given situation, I think, for whom reaching for the moral imperative is extremely important. As the Red Army drew closer and the battle for Budapest loomed, I did do a podcast the other year on the almost destruction of Budapest at the end of the war. The job of keeping the Jews safe became more and more difficult. The Arrow Cross were aware that there was very little to restrain them. And when the Arrow Cross did storm into one Spanish building, it was only the timely intervention of Perlasca threatening to cable his supposed government in Madrid and report the Hungarian government for a gross breach of diplomatic protocol that prevented, that ensured that the militia withdrew. Estimates vary, but it's thought Sanzbris and Perlasca between them saved about 5,200 Jews. In the post-war period, Franco, desperate for some kind of diplomatic recognition from the West, from Britain, America and other democratic governments, wanted to distance himself from the Axis powers and certainly distance himself from the crimes of the Nazis, and liked to claim that fascist Spain had been sympathetic to the Jews and had helped them. This, of course, wasn't the case. There had been some efforts by the always contrary and inconsistent Italian government midway through the war to provide some refuge to the Jews of Greece, but Franco made no attempt to help the Jews whatsoever. There was a trickle of Jews, Sephardic Jews, were able to pass through northern Spain into Portugal, and by the border guards turning something of a blind eye as they fled the Nazis in France. But this can't really be equated to being helping in any meaningful way. Sanzbris was eventually recognised by the curators of the Holocaust Memorial at Yad Vashem in Tel Aviv, and he has now been recognised in posterity, posterity as one of the righteous among nations there, and in 1994 the government of Hungary gave him the cross of the Order of Merit of the Republic of Hungary. And there is a street named after him in Budapest called the Angel Sanzbris Avenue. And so there were lasting memories to him. He died in 1980 in Rome and was never fully recognised for any of his achievements and his humanitarian acts during the war. Anyway, I hope you find this interesting, and I'll catch you on the next Explaining History podcast later this afternoon. Thanks, all the best, bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.